How many are you ready for today? How many of you enjoyed last week? Was it good? Did you get a lot out of it? Did it change the way you think and the way you look at your mind and how you start thinking? We're going to talk about that again today. I'm going to focus really, you notice there's not a whole lot in your notes, and one of those points is the same thing from last week. And so we're going to focus on one main thing today. I mean, you know, that's good for me, because if I get too many things in my brain, I can't function all the way, right? Hopefully this is going to help, right? Scripture tells us, Romans 12:2, it says, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God and what is good and acceptable and perfect." How many of you have some trouble sometimes figuring out the will of God, figuring out what is good and acceptable and perfect? How many of you that's a struggle sometimes? How many of you know sometimes we know what is good and acceptable and perfect, but we make dumb decisions in life? Let me be honest, like irrational decisions. You know how you should act when somebody comes up to you, but, there's that but, when the time comes, you don't act the right way, right? You know what you should say or do in a certain situation with what God's put in your hands, but when the time comes, but, you guys are with me, right? You guys, right? We're on the same page. We behave irrationally. We make decisions that make absolutely no sense. When we look back at it, we're like, why on earth did I do that? Like, that's dumb, right? How many of you have that? It's okay, because according to the scripture, Paul had the same problem, right? He says, Romans 10, 15 through 20, he says, "For I do not understand my own actions." I don't understand it, right? "I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing that I hate. Now, if I do what I do not want, I agree with the law that it is good. So now, it is no longer I who do it, but the sin that dwells within me. For I know that nothing good dwells within me, that is, in my flesh. For I have the desire to do what is right, but not the ability to carry it out." How many of you can relate? "For I do not do the good I want, but the evil I do not want to do is what I keep doing. Now, if I do what I do not want, it is no longer I who do it, but the sin that dwells within me." How many of you know, just because it's not you that does it, it's the sin that dwells within you, that you're still accountable, right? Because there's a battle that goes on, as we've talked about last week, in our mind. Good, bad, what am I going to do? Who am I going to allow to win? Galatians 5:17 says, "For the desires of the flesh are against the spirit, and the desires of the spirit are against the flesh. For these two are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things you want to do." Now, the spirit wants you to do the right things. Your flesh wants to do the wrong things. And there's a battle that goes on. And it starts where at? In your mind. Everything. Every action that you take starts in your mind. The decision to do it. And this is the problem. We want to do right, but we don't. We want to be nice, but we yell. Right? We want to save money, but we spend. Some of us more than others. My wife, if she was here, she'd be like, "Amen." Talking about me, not her, right? Huh. We want to trust God, but we worry. Right? We know the right things to do, but we lose the battle in our mind getting ready to go do them. Why do we behave irrationally? Well, if you listen to science, it's because of the pathways that are in our mind from our past. The thoughts that we think. So as I talked about last week, I don't want to go too far back into it, but the more we think a thought, the more ingrained it becomes in our head. How many of you know this? If you tell a lie long enough, soon you begin to believe it. See? That's what this is. So when we listen to these things in our mind, what happens is, and it starts from an early age, right? When a baby comes, the baby smiles at mama, mama smiles at baby, the baby's like, "Oh, I like this. This is great," right? Smiling is good, right? When a baby touches the stove, the stove is hot. That's bad, right? It burns into the mind. "Well, I don't want to do that again. That was bad." So we learn good from bad at an early age. Baby wants a sucker. Mom says no. Baby cries. Mom gives baby sucker. Baby says, aha, I figured it out. I cry long enough, I'm going to get my sucker, right? There's things that we learn. Y'all know it's true. There's things that we think, and because of our past experiences, man, that's what comes into our mind. And because of that, that's the actions that come out. The more we think a thought, the easier it is to think that thought again. The more we think a thought, the easier it is to think that thought again. Again, the battlefield is in our mind. Most of life's battles are won or lost in our mind. This is the cool thing about that. You ready for it? 2 Corinthians 10:4 says, "For the weapons of our warfare are not of flesh, but they have a divine power to destroy strongholds. We destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised up against the knowledge of God and take every thought into captivity." Just because we live in this world and they have a thought process of how things are supposed to be doesn't mean that that's the thought process that we take on in our life. Just because the world says it's okay to do these things does not make it okay for us to do those things. We need to remember that. And this is what it says. That thought process that comes in that's being fed to us daily through TV, through radio, through every other kind of thing that we have coming at us, the people that we meet at our job, right? Just because it's coming down. How many of you know the more that they put that in and they put that in and they put that in, that's what they call brainwashing, right? They feed you the same thing over and over and over and over and over and you begin to believe it, right? So this is what the scripture says, that we have a weapon in the Holy Spirit that breaks that down, every stronghold that comes up, demolishes every stronghold, destroys every argument and lofty opinion. The divine power destroys the arguments, takes captivity every thought. That's what we get to do. When a thought comes in our mind, we get to say, I'm going to take a hold of that and I'm going to run with it, or I'm going to take a hold of that and I'm going to get rid of it. I'm going to grab it and I'm going to get rid of it, right? But the problem is we end up dwelling on it and dwelling on it and dwelling on it. We end up believing it. And as I said last week in Proverbs 22, I believe it says, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. You think you can't do it? You ain't going to be able to do it. You think you're not good enough? You're not good enough. Man. We need to take every thought into captivity and make it obedient. So why does that matter? Why does it matter if we do that? Because number one, in your notes, we talked about this last week, is your life is always moving in the direction of your strongest thoughts. What comes into your mind will come out of your life. Right? What you allow to stay there, what you meditate on. And this is the important thing. You cannot have a positive life with a negative mind. You can't. It's impossible. And this is the thing. If you don't control what you think, you will never control what you do. You'll be that one that is tossed to and fro, back and forth, unable to make a decision. How many of you have ever been in a storm in a boat? I have. I lived on a boat for 2.5 years. It was 505 feet long, 64 and a half feet wide, 8 decks high. In 2.5 years, I lived on that with 321 other guys, right? And we would be out in the middle of the sea, and the ocean would be waving, and that thing, that big boat, that seems pretty big. Now you put it next to a carrier, it's very small. But you put it next to a bass boat, that thing's huge, right? But do you know how it got thrown? Here and there, and as it came, and the whole thing would turn like this, there would be 45-degree pitch and 35-degree rolls at the same time, thinking like that, right? Have the boat going like that. That's what, and they had little wire ropes that when we were standing watch, we'd have to stand there and hold on to them so it wouldn't bring us away. So being tossed back and forth is not fun, especially when it's in your mind. So thinking that thought, if you don't control what you think, you will never control what you do. We need to do something today. We need to take back our minds. How do we do that? We train our minds. So if you're going to understand how to train your mind, I want you to think about training your body, right? Same principle, same thing. So Psychology Today in 2016 had an article, and it talked about, is the brain a muscle? So technically, the brain is not a muscle. It has some muscles running through it, right? But it is mainly white matter and gray matter, right? And what happens is as your body grows, your brain changes. As experience happens to you, your brain changes. Your brain can be manipulated, right? For lack of a better word. If I train my legs out and I work out on leg day and my muscles grow, my brain has to change to be able to accommodate the new muscle that's there. Does that make sense? As things happen, your brain grows and does things and changes and makes pathways that run back and forth, right? We can train our minds to do what we want them to do. We can. We can. I'm going to give you scripture behind it. Y'all ready? I'm going to tell you the way Paul tells us to train our minds to start with, all right? And then we'll go on from there. Philippians 4:8, it says, "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there any praise, think on these things." How many of you know, no matter what situation you're in, there's always something that you can praise God about. There's always something you can look towards and think about. And do you know what? In the middle of your situation, when it's bad and things are going crazy, when you start looking at the good that God has put in your life, you start focusing on God, the other things end up being taken care of. They do. They do. Why? Because I'm not looking at the circumstance. I'm not looking at the giant that's coming. I'm not looking at the mountain I have to climb. I'm looking at God, who's bigger than all of it, and has sent his son so that I could have freedom for it, from it. Amen? The New Living Translation says this, "And now, brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true." Set it on that and leave it. So, man, you know, when I put on the TV at the house and I leave and I come back, it's on the same channel. Correct? Like, what does that have to do with anything? That's what we need to do with our minds. We need to fix it on that and leave it there and set it there so that that's what's going on. So when my wife and kids were out of town, I don't do it when they're home because it's tough for them, but I do it sometimes. When my wife and kids are gone, do you know what I do to sleep at night? Because I can't sleep with my family gone just because they're my family and they should be there and they're not. And so it's hard for me in like the 2 weeks that they go away. It's very difficult. So do you know what I do? I get in my app on my phone, the Bible app on my phone, and I listen to the Word of God over and over and over. Do you know how quick I fall asleep? First of all. Second of all, when I was a kid, like I explained this at our home group the other day. When I was a kid, we used to travel from Apopka. I lived in Apopka, and we would go to Joplin, Missouri, where our family was, right, where I was born. And it was a 24-hour trip with four kids and my mom and dad in a car. We didn't have iPads and cell phones and things. We played Pigs in Space, which I'm not going to explain that right now, but we played Pigs in Space, and my mom read books to us. She would read the entire trip. Man, we did the Chronicles of Narnia. We did Jane Eyre. We did Oliver Twist. We did all these on all the trips that we would make and go back there and back. She would read the entire time. And because my brain, the way it works, I don't like to read. I don't want to look at the things. I'd rather watch the movie. I'm just going to be real. I'd rather see the movie than read the book. Although, did you read the book? I'm like, no, I watched the movie. It's okay. I'm good. That's what I did. So what happened with my brain is she would start reading and I would close my eyes and I would just listen. And do you know what would happen? My mind is very, very creative when it comes to stuff like that, right? It's very, like, anyway. I would imagine it in my mind. And I would go over it and over it. And it was like I was seeing the movie in my mind of what was being read, right? That's why, and people think I'm crazy. A lot of times I'll go over my scriptures and then I'll go to sleep. And when I wake up, I'm ready to go, right? Now, I do plan. I do prepare. I go through things. Don't say I'm not saying I don't do that. But that is my best preparation, is sleeping on that. Why? Because my mind is set on it, and I'm fixed on that, and that's what I'm thinking about. And because of that, what's coming out of my life? What I've set my mind on. Some of us need to change the channel in our minds. Some of us need to fix our minds on some other things. Now, dear brothers and sisters, again, this is the New Living Translation. One final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. So let's take our minds off the stuff, the junk that we don't need in there. Let's fix our minds on what's excellent and worthy of praise. Do you know what? That's going to change our whole outlook on life. That's going to change the whole place that we're at. It's a discipline of meditation. That's what we're going to talk about today, meditating. Now, I don't want you to think like the New Age, empty your mind and, you know, sit with the arms stuff. And not like that. That's a completely different meditation than what we're talking about. We're talking about a godly meditation, and I'm going to explain it here in a minute. The definition of meditation is to engage in mental exercise. To engage in mental exercise. To focus one's thoughts. To focus one's thoughts. How many of you know you can focus on what you want to focus on? Let me take it a step further. You're going to focus on what you want to focus on. If you want to look at the bad stuff, you're going to see it all day long. But if you want to find the joy of the Lord, you focus on it, you're going to find it all day long. It's the same principle. It's the same principle. Psalms 119:15 says, I will meditate on your precepts and fix my eyes on your ways. There's that meditate and fix again, right? I will meditate on your precepts and fix my eyes on your ways. I will delight in your statutes. I will not forget your word. How many of you know you don't think about stuff constantly? You forget about it. Do you guys remember in high school? Some of us, is a long time ago. But how many of you remember you'd take a test and you would study and study and study and study and study and study for like a whole hour before the test? And then, no, I'm just kidding. You would study and study and study and study. And then when you went to do that test, aced it. What if I gave you that same test today? How would you do? Yeah, y'all like, yeah, no. Why? Because you haven't thought about it. You haven't focused on it. You haven't put your mind to exercise your mind to think about those things. Do you know what? We need to meditate on the precepts of God. We need to fix our eyes on his ways. We need to put this word in our hearts. Like David said again, so I might not sin again. We need to put this here and focus on it constantly, daily. Listen, me telling you to read your Bible every day, I'm not trying to put you under rules and regulations and a law that you have to do. I'm trying to get you to look at what God wants to do in your life, because these are the answers. These are what you need. In here, he's given you every principle you need to get through what you face in life. He has given it to you. The problem is we might have read it one time. We might have studied really hard when we had a test on being impatient. We might have studied patience for a minute, but we haven't done it in a long time. We've forgotten how to do it, right? We need to constantly meditate on his word. Psalms 143:5 says, I remember the days of old. I meditate on all that you have done. I ponder the works of your hands. Just as the song we sang earlier and what we talked about during prayer time, I remember everything God's done for me. And if I remember hard enough and I think about it and I say, this is what God did, this is what God did, this is what God did, when the next thing comes, I'm not going to be like, oh God, you left me. I'm all alone. I can't do nothing. Oh, poor me, right? No, you sit there and think, well, God, you did this, you did this, you did this. I know you're going to do this. It's not a problem. The worry, the fear shouldn't be there in our lives. I say shouldn't, because you know what? Sometimes they come and I'm worried and I'm fearful. Why? Because I don't focus my mind and train my mind on what God has done and what he will do and what his word says about me and the situation that I'm in. We need to train our minds. We need to meditate. Again, Eastern meditation is empty your mind, get rid of everything, and just, I don't know, have a black screen. Those are boring to me. Like, I hate it when the movie comes on and there's nothing on. And you're just sitting there. That meditation like that would bother me. But Godly meditation is fixing my mind on the truth. Fixing my mind on the truth. What does John 8:32 say? Jesus said this. He says, "You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." The truth will set you free. You bound up in some issues and some problems. You got some battles going on in your mind. Get God's truth in your mind and start quoting it. Start going through it. And guess what? It's going to set you free. It's going to set you free. We need to train our mind to focus. And focusing is a skill. It's something that can be taught. It's something that you can learn. You say, "Well, I'm not good at focusing." That's okay. You can learn. I learned that from the great theologian Jackie Chan in the Karate Kid movie. When he said, "Your focus needs more focus," right? My mind drifts. It goes from here to there, right? I think of this, and I look, my squirrels up there reminding me, right? Tobias, the Victory Church squirrels back there in the back being like, "Don't chase me," right? Why? Because my mind drifts and goes here and goes there unless I have it focused on something. Unless I have it focused on something. What is that old thing that they say? Idle hands is the devil's workshop. Why is that? Because I'm not focused on anything. I'm not doing anything. I'm bored, so I'm going to look for something to do, and it's probably not going to be the right thing. But if I focus my mind on what God wants me to do, if I focus my mind on the Word, if I train my mind and I train it towards the truth, whenever anything comes, what's going to come out? The truth. What God says about it, not what other people say. So, last week, I ask you to do two things at the end of the week. I don't know if you remember them, but I have them here, so it's okay if you forgot. One of the main things that we need to do, and was the focus of last week, is to identify where we have our wires crossed in our mind. Identify the strongholds that are going on in our mind. Identify the places that we struggle and we're losing the war in our mind. Do you guys remember me asking y'all to do that? We need to focus on those thoughts that we have in our head that I'll never get out of debt. I can't ever overcome this addiction. I'll always struggle with my health. I'll never feel close to God. I'll never have a meaningful job, man. I'm never going to get married. I'm never going to have the right relationship. My marriage is never going to be what it should be. We need to get rid of those thought processes. How many of you know? Those are wrong. Those are lies from the enemy. We need to identify those. Because we all have different things that we're focused on. We all have different lies that we've latched onto and held onto, and it's become who we are. We all have those things. Why? Because the enemy's kind of, he's been doing it way longer than we've been around. Right? Had a lot more practice than we have. And he knows our weaknesses. He knows our weaknesses. Why? It's not because he's in our mind and he can tell what we're about to do. He's seen our life. Right? He knows where he's got us before. He does the same thing. Well, I got you there, and I got you there, and I got you there, so I'm going to hit you here again, and you're going to go down. He can look at the past and revel in what he's done too, just the same way we look at what God's done, right? We need to focus on what God's done, not focus on the downfalls that we've had, not allow those things to come and to be a part of it. So last week, I asked you to identify the biggest stronghold. And then I told you this, and this is what we're going to do right now for the rest of the time. How much time we got left? We got a little bit of time left, so we're good. I got plenty of time. We are going to name the truth that demolishes the strongholds in our life. That's what we're going to do. And now, I don't have every stronghold. I don't have every scripture. I don't have every thought process. So if I don't say whatever's bothering you, look, it's in here. Find it. Look for it. You know, sometimes good things take a little work. Okay. All the time, good things take a little work. I don't know anything that's just been given to me that's just the greatest thing ever that I didn't have to put effort into, that you didn't have to put effort into. Even the gifts God gives us, we still have to practice. Remember? Talked about that for several weeks. What truth demolishes the stronghold? Scriptural truth. This is what I want you to do. I want you to think about the issue that you have. And again, I'm giving you homework. You have to go do this, okay? How many of you are going to go do it? Don't lie and put your hand up, but if you're going to do it, how many of you did not vote? How many of you are not going to go do it? I know. Everyone's like going around. Who's not doing it? Anyway, that's what I want you to do. I want you to find it. I want you to write it. Remember in school when I used to get in trouble? Well, y'all don't remember when I used to get in trouble, but you know when other kids got in trouble. When I used to get in trouble, they would make me write 500 times, I will not talk in class, I will not talk in class, I will not. Why'd they do that? And he's like, yep, me. I will not talk in class. Why did they do that? Because they wanted that principle driven into my head, right? Maybe some of you guys need to sit down and write the scripture over and over and over and over. Because writing it, you'll remember it. Writing it, you'll remember it. Write where it's at. Write what it is. Write the whole thing. Find it and then write it over and over and over. I used to tell my youth group, man, when we were talking about self-worth and value and those different things, because most teenagers, guys and girls, struggle with their value and their worth. I used to tell them scriptures to write on their mirror with the erasable marker. I told them not to use a Sharpie because they get in trouble. But write on their mirror so that every morning when they got up, they would look at it and say that to themselves. Why? So that they would understand that's what God said about them. Because the enemy and society all put in stuff that doesn't belong in our kids' heads. Right? We need to write it down. We need to think it over and over and over. Over and over and over. Put it in places that you'll find it. Put it in your wallet. So when you open up to get some money out or your card out, you'll see that verse and remember it. Put it in your fridge. Some of us need to put it in the refrigerator right by the ice cream. Just saying. Then you know what we need to do? We need to start confessing it in our life. This is what God's word says. This is what God's word says about me. This is what God's word says about my situation. And you need to do that until what? Forever. Well, you need to do it until you believe it. That's when you need to do it till. You need to believe it. You need to do it until you've got it down inside your heart and it can't be taken away from you. And I know that when this issue comes, when that lie is told to me, I understand already what God's word says about me. And this lie is just a lie. I can see it for what it is. Why? Because I have the truth already. I know what it is. We need to create new pathways in our mind. We need to do what the scripture says and renew our minds with truth. Renew our minds with truth. If you're struggling to know God's will, you need to say this: my life belongs to God. Daily I'm going to seek him. Daily he's going to direct my steps. I know his voice and he will lead me to his perfect will. That's going to happen. Why? Because his word says it. Where does Jesus said, my sheep know my voice and they follow me. Right? If we're his children, we know his voice. The Holy Spirit is inside of us, leading us and guiding us. If we lack confidence, we need to understand this. My confidence is in Christ and Christ alone. Because his spirit lives within me, I can do anything he calls me to do. We need to put that truth in our minds. We need to remember that truth. If you're fighting lustful thoughts, I'm not a slave to my lustful thoughts because God has purified my mind. I will honor him with my eyes and with my thoughts. My God is faithful. Even when I'm tempted, he will always give me a way of escape. Always give me a way of escape. You don't have to get caught by that and stuck in that. You can have freedom in it today. We need to know God's word says that. I find my comfort in food. When I'm stressed, I'm going to turn to God and not to food. I'll come to Jesus because he's what I need. In him, I will find my strength and I will find my comfort. You need to say it until you believe it. That's what God's word says over and over and over. I'm battling worry. Because of Christ, I'm not anxious about anything. I cast my cares on God because he cares for me and I have the peace of God dwelling in my heart and ruling in my mind. That's what God's word says. That's the truth to break down the stronghold. You need to write it. You need to think it. You need to confess it again until you believe it. Because this is the thing, man, and I said this last week, your life will always move in the direction of your strongest thoughts. Always. If you don't control what you think, you will never control what you do. It's time for us to take our mind back. It's time for us to meditate on the truth. It's time for us to fix our eyes, our minds, our thought process on what God's word says about us. there's a thought that the enemy throws in each and every one of us, man. And he tries to hit us as hard as he can. No matter how long we've been with God, no matter how long, it's that I'm not good enough and God could never love me. That's the thought that the enemy comes at each and every one of us with. Over and over and over. But why is it important that we say these things that's in God's word? Because his word says if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart, you will be saved. You will have freedom in your life. This is the thing. The scripture says for those who are in Christ, it's available. Maybe today you've never given your life to Christ. I want to give you that opportunity. I want to give you that opportunity. I want to give each and every one of us, just like we did earlier, an opportunity to say, God, my life's not where it should be. Maybe I have, look, y'all. Every time that song is sung, I still think of that. Think of how we don't give God everything. I surrender all. Look, I'm going to be honest. When Angie was singing that, I was thinking some of us getting buzzed. Why? Because we didn't tell the truth. We haven't given him everything. We just given him parts of it. Every time I hear that song for the rest of my life, that's what I'm going to think about. Why? What? He's like, well, that's funny. That's not a funny song. Well, for me, that's a reminder. I need to check myself and make sure I ain't holding on to nothing I'm supposed to give to him. Right? That's the way my brain works. Yours might be totally different. Maybe you need some other things to have you focus towards him. But today, in Christ, we can overcome anything. Amen? We have freedom in anything. So if you don't have freedom in your life, are you in Christ right now? Are you living in him? Because in him, we have freedom. For those of us who are in Christ, this is the thing. He makes it really hard for us to come to him. He doesn't. He just says, come. He just says, accept the gift that I've given to you. That's all it is. We say a prayer. Do you know why I say a prayer? And I've said this before, so probably all y'all do, but do you know why I say a sinner's prayer? It's not because the words in the prayer mean anything. It's not because it's a you have to say it like this or you don't get in. I had somebody ask me one time, can you write down that prayer for me? Because I want to give it to my friend and I want us to go through. I'm like, listen, no. The prayer comes from your heart. That's me just saying it. The reason why I have us all do it together is because we're confessing with our mouth, all of us, at that moment. That's why I do that. That's the sole purpose. That's why I do that. It's not. You could sit at home at your table and say, God, I accept your son, and you gave me the gift, and I need renewal. I need freedom. I need access to you. Done. Right? Or you can pray a big, long prayer if you want to. If it makes you feel good. You can do it however you can say, God, I need you. Help me. It's not difficult. And then what happens is the change comes. And it's not because you change. It's not because you make yourself better. As we talked about over the last 9 weeks or so, he puts his spirit inside of us and causes us to do the right things. That's what the book of Ezekiel says, right? The Holy Spirit will cause us to do what's right. It will cause us to change. It will cause us to do things differently. If we're not doing things differently, we need to go back and be like, hey, I don't think I picked up the gift right. I know you gave it to me because it says you'll give it to me, right? Maybe I left it there when we were talking. I need you to come and show me what I need to do. So this morning, before I go into what I got to say, I got some more stuff to say. We're going to be a little bit after 11. But it's okay. Y'all are staying here to eat anyway. We don't have to run to the restaurant. It'll be all right. Today, you want to give your life to Christ. I want you to bow your heads, close your eyes. Why do we do that? Because I don't want you to focus on anything except for God, except for the gift that he's giving you, except for Jesus who's coming. Dear Heavenly Father, we ask right now for the free gift that you've given us in your Son. And as we confess with our mouths here in just a minute, we believe in our hearts or we wouldn't be saying it. We want the change to come. We want our lives to be renewed, our minds to be renewed, the battles, the wars that go on in our mind. We want to refocus on you. We want to train our minds to see you, to think about you, about your ways, about what you want to do in our lives. And we give you our lives now. If that's you, say, Jesus, I accept what you've done for me. God, I accept your gift. Help me be who you created me to be. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Now, for those of us who are in Christ, if you just said that prayer, you're in Christ. How many of you like that? That's a good thing. The scripture says that all of heaven celebrates. Amen. They're having a freedom party right now, right? Great. So, for those of us who are in Christ, I want you to understand something. The Word of God says that you are strong, you are mighty, you have the same power that raised Christ from the dead dwelling inside of you, and you are a weapon of righteousness in a world of darkness. Now, I'm not going to read all these because we don't have time. We would be here for a long time. But what I want you to do, they're not on your paper either. So I want you to get a pen out of the back seat in front of you, find somewhere to write it down, or go back on the thing later and listen to it again. Romans 8, 9 through 11 talks about that. Some of us are still bound up by our past. The scripture says you are not your past. You are not what you did. You are who God says you are. He has forgiven you. He says you are redeemed. He says you are free. Romans 8, 1 and 2 says there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. You're not a hostage to your unhealthy thoughts. Those of us that are battling unhealthy thoughts, the weapons you fight with are not weapons of this world. You have divine power to demolish strongholds. 2 Corinthians 10, 4 and 5. I need you to write that down and go look at it later. It also says that you have the mind of Christ directing your thoughts. You have the Word of God guiding your steps. Philippians 2, 1 through 11. Those of you that are battling with worry, worry is not your master. You trust in God. His peace guards your hearts, guards your minds, guards your soul in Christ Jesus. Philippians 4, 7 through 9. Don't be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, let us, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. You don't have to worry. You don't have to worry. You don't have to be afraid. God hasn't given you a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and of a sound mind. That's 2 Timothy 1, 6 and 7. You can't do it by yourself. That's okay. The Lord is your helper. You'll not be afraid. Psalms 54, 4 and 5. Behold, God is my helper. The Lord is the upholder of my life. He will return evil to my enemies. In your faithfulness, put an end to them. You're not a slave to your habits. You're not a prisoner to an addiction. You've been rescued from the power of darkness and brought into the light. John 8, 31 through 35. And it says this, Jesus said, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples, and you will know the truth, and what? The truth will set you free. You don't have to be bound up by it anymore. Because verse 36 in that same block, the last one says, so if the Son has set you free, you will be free indeed. You're struggling with finances and with things in your life. The word says, you're struggling with health. You're struggling with anything in your life. Your God says he will bless you abundantly so that in all things, at all times, you have all you need and you will abound in every good work. 2 Corinthians 9, 10 through 12. Feel like God's not around you? Again, nothing can separate you from God's love. Not death, nor demons, nor present, nor past, nor power on earth will ever separate you from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Feel like God's too far away from you? Remember that scripture. Romans 8, 31 through 39. We need to remember, man, most of the battles are won or lost in our mind. And then we need to understand this, that even though there's battles that take place in our mind, that Jesus Christ has said, it is finished. Completely complete and perfectly perfect, right? We need to remember that. We don't have to add anything to it. We have to look to him in the middle of all of it. We need to renew our minds. Amen? Dear Heavenly Father, right now, there's so many things that come at our minds, so many temptations that come, so many thoughts that the enemy tries to give to us, that the world tries to feed us, God. And I ask right now that you'd allow us to put all those things down, that you'd allow us to get into your word, that you'd allow us to understand, to quote it, to write it down, to get it inside, so that when the battle comes, when the temptation arises, when the thought of that we're not any good, that we're not your children, that we can quote these scriptures, so that we can pull these scriptures up, that we can look them up and say, I know that's not true because God's word says this, and he doesn't lie. I ask that you would help us with that now. I ask that you would help us to renew our minds and for peace to come into our hearts and allow us to share that with everyone we come in contact with. In Jesus' name, everybody said,